Hello and welcome. You are tuned in to another episode of Mountain Song and Story right here on Radio Bristol. I'm your host, Tony Doman. Here on the program, each and every week, I find and feature themes relating to Appalachian culture and then play songs and feature tales and stories all about our topic of choice. Well, today, I'm talking about stones, rocks and stones to be more specific, and I've got a great folk tale to bring you today, one that you may not have heard before, the story of the Grafton Monster. The Grafton Monster is part of Appalachian folk tale coming from West Virginia specifically, and the stories come from sightings in the late 1960s of a Bigfoot-like mysterious creature. Grafton was a typical railroad and coal mining town back in the day, but the stories and sightings of the Grafton Monster are far from typical. So please stick around and stay tuned with me here this hour on Mountain Song and Story as we learn all about this tale and more here on the show. First up, we got to have some fitting music. I got Stepping Stones from Jimmy Martin lined up for you to play next. You are listening to Mountain Song and Story right here on Radio Bristol. Stepping Stones there from Jimmy Martin to kick things off for our show today. So welcome, welcome, welcome. Today here on Mountain Song and Story, I want to talk about sticks and rocks. Stones and rocks, rather. Stones and rocks. And I've got the intriguing story of the Grafton Monster coming up in just a bit. But first, let's talk about stones and rocks in folklore. In fact, petrifying and turning people into stone is actually a pretty common theme in a lot of stories. Of course, we all know the story of Medusa, but there's also more stories of petrifying people and turning them into rocks, like the basilisk, which, of course, I think of Harry Potter on that one, but the folklore on that is much older. Also, in Homer's The Odyssey, the god Poseidon turns a ship full of folks into stone as punishment for their having helped him fight against his foe, Odysseus. And there is also a lot of fairy tales about petrifying people, petrifying princesses mostly. Most of the time, the princesses are out there getting turned to stone, and they're just waiting for some prince to come unpetrify them, apparently. So yeah, lots of stories about petrifying people. Here's one as well. An Icelandic legend about the island of Drangri says that two night prowling giants, a man and a woman, were traversing the ford with their cow when they were surprised by the bright rays of daybreak. As a result of the exposure to the daylight, the three were turned into stone. So yeah, of course, there are a lot more stories about petrifying people, and we are going to get into an awesome one about, like I said, the Grafton Monster here in just a bit, so stick around and stay tuned. But first, we're going to get into a little music now. Here's a song called Dying Girl's Farewell. This was recorded during the Bristol Sessions back in, of course, 1927, and this is from Ernest Stoneman, Cale Brewer, and Walter Mooney.
The time has come, dear Papa, when I must say goodbye. I feel the shadows thicken, begin to drawing nigh. I'm entering in the valley, but what have I to fear? The angels are in waiting, and Jesus too is near. Dear Mama, oh dear Mama, your love has warm and thrill. Cast all your care on Jesus until he calls for you. He never will forsake you, though sorrows press you sore. He'll bring you to that city where we shall part no more. I'll meet you at the portal where angels come and go. Be faithful, oh be faithful, it won't be long, you know. I'll meet you at the portal where angels come and go. Be faithful, oh be faithful, it won't be long, you know. And you, my precious sister, whose eyes were full with tears, think of your home in glory beyond the rolling fear. Be ready for its summer, should it come soon or late. And I will hail you welcome there by the golden gate. Dear brothers, I must leave you, remember life is brief. I know my leaving pained you and filled your heart with grief. But soon we'll be with Jesus, where we shall part no more. Brother, will you meet me on that celestial shore? I'll meet you at the portal where angels come and go. Be faithful, oh be faithful, it won't be long, you know. I'll meet you at the portal where angels come and go. Be faithful, it won't be long, you know. Farewell, my love companion, I bid you all adieu. Oh, give your life to Jesus and be the duty true. Walk close beside the Master until your journey's o'er. He'll guide you through the valley and we shall meet no more. I'll meet you at the portal where angels come and go. Be faithful, it won't be long, you know. I'll meet you at the portal where angels come and go. Be faithful, it won't be long, you know.
Thank you. sweet smell of daisies. She drives me crazy. She drives me crazy. Gonna take her for a ride on a PJ plane. Gonna take her for a ride on a PJ plane. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Take you higher.
Tricks that you used on me. You're reading all them high fashion magazines. The clothes you're wearing, girl, are causing public scenes. I said, I'm not your stepping stone. I'm not your stepping stone. Not your stepping stone. Met your girl, you didn't have no shoes, but now you're walking around like your front page news. You've been awful careful about the friends you choose, but you won't find my name in your book of who's. Who's I said, I'm not your stepping stone.
No, girl, no.
The Monkees with I'm Not Your Stepping Stone, Angus and Julia Stone there, Big Jet Plane, and Dying Girl's Farewell, Ernest Stoneman, Cale Brewer, and Walter Mooney. We're talking about stones today here on Mountain Song and Story, if you are just tuning in. And I've got a really great story for you now. This is the story of the Grafton Monster, or sometimes referred to as the Beast of Grafton. This is a story involving alleged sightings of a Bigfoot-like creature found in Grafton, West Virginia. From what I can tell, it is said to have taken place around an old rock quarry, hence my connection with today's theme of rocks. According to the book Monsters of West Virginia, eyewitnesses have estimated that it stands between 7 and 9 foot tall and has really pale skin and kind of looks like it's a seal. Kind of the skin, it looks like it's slick like a seal. And some say that it's headless. Who knows? This piece of Appalachian folklore has even received attention in recent years with the release of the video game Fallout 76, which features several myths and creatures in folklore surrounding the Appalachian region. It's actually pretty cool. The Mothman is in there, the Grafton Monster, the Flatwoods Monster. We talked about the Flatwoods Monster here on this show about this time last year. We got to speak with the folks up there at the Flatwoods Monster Museum. Appalachia and West Virginia is just full, West Virginia especially, is full of all kinds of legends and myths and so many creatures. So it's really great to be able to dig in and feature some of these really interesting tales. So I've heard a bit about this story before, and I've always heard that this creature was spotted in the late 1960s, and it looked like a really big rock being in the middle of the road. And I've got a great summary of the story of the Grafton Monster that started this whole story from none other, in fact, than the Grafton Monster's Facebook page. Yeah, he's on Facebook. Facebook.com/TheGraftonMonster. The folks over there who managed that page were kind enough to let me share this version of the story with you. Also, just over a week ago, June 16th is actually the anniversary of the initial sighting of the Grafton Monster. So very cool. So anyway, here is the story. They say that on June 16th, 1964, Robert Cockrell, a young Grafton Daily Sentinel journalist, was heading home from reporting a story. His drive took him northbound between 119 and Route 50 along what is known as Riverside Drive. He was on the road about 11 p.m. when most of Grafton, West Virginia was already in bed, quieted down, settling in for the evening. As his car rounded a large curve in the road and entered what was at the time one of the straightest stretches of the road in the city, his beams caught sight of a very large object in the lane in front of him. As his car got closer, he got chills as the object came clearer into view. What he saw standing off the roadside between the road and the Tigret River terrified Robert. He saw a 7 to 9 foot tall, 4 feet wide, grayish-white monster with no distinguishable head. It was standing there motionless as he drove by. So he hurried home and locked the door, fearful and pretty unsure of what to do. Shortly thereafter, he decided that as a journalist, he had an obligation to go back and investigate and check things out. So Robert, being no foolish man, got two of his friends, Jerry Mauser and Jim Morris, to go with him. Accompanied by flashlights, three went to the spot where he saw the headless beast. Terrifying. The two friends both told that they saw the spot and the vegetation in the space was completely flattened by what had appeared to have been a large object. They went up and down the riverbank looking for more signs of the creature, but they unfortunately saw nothing. All three stated that each direction they went, they heard a low whistling noise following them up and down the bank, but from out in the river. The next day, on June 17th, Cockrell went into work, uncertain what he would do, but felt obligated to tell his editor of the events. The editor was dismissive and wanted no part of the story, so Robert assumed that would be the end of it. But he didn't account for his friends running to tell every other younger person they could find about the events that they'd seen the night before. So that evening, the number of youths gathered on Riverside Drive, armed with baseball bats and other makeshift weapons, to see if they could spot the quote-unquote monster. This created quite the chatter, and the Sentinel was left with no choice but to report on the aspect of the event. On June 18th, an article ran with the headline, quote, "Teenage Monster Hunting Parties, Latest Activity on Grafton Scene," end quote. But this piece had no mention of the cause of the activity, bearing their very own journalist's sightings. After the article ran, the crowd doubled. Cars were parked up and down Riverside Drive, full of teens and adults hoping to catch a glimpse of the beast. The police investigated, that is quoted by the way, investigated, and issued a statement which ran the next day on June 19th on the front page of the Grafton Daily Sentinel. The headline read, quote, "Monsters, result of spring fever, wild imagination," end quote. The paper reported that the cars were bumper to bumper on the road at 10 p.m. They also ran an unattributed quote from one youth saying that maybe it was an escaped polar bear from the zoo, none of which existed in or anywhere near the town. And that is where the story ended, until Gary Baker got involved. Gary Baker was considered by many to be the leading collector of information about cryptozoology and encounters with different beings. He shared his interviews and findings in a magazine he published. This is how they have an account of what happened at the initial sighting. And on July 10th, 1964, Robert typed his encounter out and sent it to Mr. Baker. Robert described going around the curve and traveling 50 miles per hour and spotting the thing, as he called it. He described the height and weight of it, and the letter is also where they get the names of the two people who accompanied him. And then flash forward 50 years to April 14th, 2014. Most residents of Grafton have no memory of the event, and most of the young people never heard about it growing up. Several things account for the lack of teens who would now be in their late 60s or early 70s to not remembering it. But the main factor was that if you didn't grow up in town and or read the newspaper when you were young, you would have completely been unaware of the events. School was out for summer and it didn't start up again until September, long after the hysteria died down. There was no social media to alert everyone, so unless you were part of the group of people, of younger kids, that went up and down Riverside Drive, you would have probably been oblivious to these events. However, outside of Grafton, West Virginia, the legend of the Grafton Monster is notorious and popular in cryptozoology circles. What's also interesting is that Robert Cockrell, who, according to many people, won't talk about his experience, penned an article for the Mountain Statesman newspaper, formerly the Sentinel, recanting his entire story. This is really interesting when you take into fact that his letter he wrote to Gary, in which he is 100% convinced of what he saw and remembered in great detail. Many think he might have been embarrassed and wanted to distance himself from this story. But as far as the present day goes, the legend still definitely persists. So there you have it, the story of the Grafton Monster, a Bigfoot-like creature from Appalachian folklore, with stories originating back in the late 1960s out of Grafton, West Virginia. A lot of people could chalk up the story of this monster as just people exaggerating something that they may or may not have seen. but I believe there are some strange things out there, and this is definitely one of them. You know, I really love these folklore stories. I love uncovering stories. And really, when you think about it, things like this story especially, didn't happen that long ago. And it's already become a huge piece of folklore in the art and culture of Appalachia. I mean, I've seen drawings online and illustrations of all kinds of Appalachian monster creatures. So it definitely has far reach. And I think that there's a lot of value in these stories because a lot of the people who experienced them or may have saw something are still living. So it's just crazy in such a short amount of time how things can turn into myths and legends or just take on a whole new meaning. So it's really exciting to be able to feature this story of the Grafton Monster here on today's show. And if you want to learn more, you can check out the Grafton Monster Facebook page, which is just facebook.com/Grafton Monster. They were kind enough to let me in on this story today and share that with me. I was able to share one of their recent posts about the whole story. So go check that out if you want to learn more. We are going to get back into some music now.
Water could not go through. But God with his mighty hand showed to the world it could not stand. It was sad when that great ship went down. It was sad when that great ship went down. It was sad when that great ship went down. There were hurt ones and wild little children lost their lives. It was sad when that great ship went down. When they left England, they were making for the shore. The rich, they declared they would not ride with the poor. So they sent the poor below. They were the first that had to go. It was sad when that great ship went down. Well, the people on the ship were a long way from home. With friends all around them, didn't know their time had come. But death came riding by, 1,600 had to die. It was sad when that great ship went down. It was sad when that great ship went down. It was sad when that great ship went down. There were husbands and wives, little children lost their lives. It was sad when that great ship went down. When the Titanic was sinking, 'cause the poor people flee, it was said they were singing, "Near my God to thee."
Near my God to thee, when that great ship went down.
Ruby, Ruby, honey, are you mad at your pal? If you don't believe I'm right, just follow me tonight. I'll take you to my shanty, oh so cold. till you're not satisfied. Oh, Ruby. Yeah. Now, Reuben, honey, are you mad? You're gay.
There from Ronnie Stoneman. Before that, the Stoneman Family, the whole group, with Sinking of the Titanic, and Stonewall Jackson before that with Waterloo. We are rolling through this hour of Mountain Song and Story. We've been talking all about stone, playing music about stones, about rocks, and learning about the Grafton Monster, learning about some other interesting folklore talking that involves rocks. So we're just going to keep on rolling. We are winding down. We got time for a few more songs. And here's a good one. I've got House of Stone here from Mandolin Orange.
Where the eyes are big and the odds are lean, the pockets all are empty, the chances all are gone. But there's a free bet yet on a house of stone. House of stone. Now some may sing the sounds of hallelujah and dream about a mansion of gold, but to each be true and to each be known, my dreams all are resting on a house of stone. A house of stone.
Once upon a time, it dressed so fine, do the Secrets. something under my thumb. Well, I can't steal nothing someone else. It's down to me. Oh, that's what I say. The way she talks when she's spoken to. Down to me. The change has come. She's under my thumb. Say something.
Under My Thumb there from the Rolling Stones and Bob Dylan, Like a Rolling Stone. And like a Rolling Stone, we are rolling on out of here talking about rocks today, talking about stones here on today's show. All right. Thank you so much for tuning in. Remember, you can catch Mountain Song and Story every Thursday at 4 o'clock right here each and every week on Radio Bristol. You can also check out past shows if you visit the Mountain Song and Story program blog page on over at listenradiobristol.org. As always, I'll have today's playlist, materials, more about the Grafton Monster, more about folklore, about rocks up there. So go check it out if you want to learn more. Special thanks again to the folks who run the Grafton Monster Facebook page for letting me use some of their materials to put today's show together today. I am going to leave you today with, I think I got time for one more song. And I'm going to roll on out of here myself. Once again, my name's Tony Doman, and I thank y'all for listening. I'll see you next week.
Howdy, this is Frank the Drifter, host of the Dollar Country Radio Show. Join me on Tuesdays from 3 to 4 p.m. where I play forgotten country music from regional, local, and private press country vinyl, alongside favorites from the golden age of country music. I guarantee you'll hear something you've never heard before.